Welcome back to My Guys in the Desert, Hour 2 here. I'm Danielle Avari here with your hosts, Matt Humans and Tim Murray. Hour 2, so that means Heat-Celtics tips in about an hour or so. Heat leading the series 1-0 after an overtime win in Game 1. That was a great one. A lot of controversy at the end there. Celtics are the minus 2.5 point favorite. The total at the South Point is 210. You can also find some 209s this morning. Notable bet here, though, the Westgate took a $70,000 bet, money line, on the Celtics, minus 140 to win Game 2. What do you guys think of that one?
Yeah, I fired it in on the app, Matt. I wasn't, you know, like I said, going into break, I wasn't feeling great about this game. So I said, you know, 70K money line.
The Westgate must have raised the limits on the app for you.
I called John. He was good. He was cool about it.
I like the Celtics to win this game tonight, too. But it's, you know, for me, who I'm holding a ticket on the Celtics to win the Eastern Conference at, I think, like 6-1 odds that I bet a long time ago, many, many months ago. I bet the Heat in Game 1, and I need the Celtics to win here in Game 2, so I'm in a position where I'm probably not going to bet this game tonight. I think the Celtics are the right side, but I've already got enough invested in the Celtics that I'm not going to bet this. Unless, you know, a lot of times you watch these games, and we have access on the apps to live wagering,
right?
And you know at some point, hey, I should jump in here and bet this. Where I do that a lot in NBA playoff games, and maybe that'll happen tonight. Yeah, but I'm not going to bet this pregame.
And you could have—I don't remember what it got to, but that first quarter of Game 1, the Heat did not look good. They were held to 18 points, yeah. And there was an opportunity there to jump in, and then even an opportunity again in the third quarter. I mean, they were down 14 in the fourth quarter before coming back. So there was a lot of opportunities in game one to back the Heat.
All right, DraftKings also had a player matchup prop here. Kemba Walker versus Jimmy Butler. Who will score more points? Kemba at minus 106, Jimmy at minus 115. In Game 1, Butler had 20, Walker had 19. Which way would you go on this, Tim?
All right, before Tim answers, he's pondering that. Thinking, yeah. I'm going to go Jimmy Butler here because I think Kemba's going to be – I think Kemba's going to take far fewer shots than he took in Game 1. We just talked 19 shot attempts. Danny Ainge said, I want Jaylen Brown more involved in the offense. To me, that means Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to be the focus of the offense and less Kemba Walker tonight. So, and Jimmy Butler's he's a lead dog, let's put it that way. He knows when it's his time to try to close out a game. I'm not going to bet this, but I lean Jimmy Butler's direction here because I think Kemba's going to take fewer shots.
I would probably go the other way. I just think Kemba has to step up, has to shoot better than 1-for-9 from three. And Jimmy Butler's been interesting, Matt, because Goran Dragic actually is the leading scorer right now for the Heat. And you look at Jimmy Butler's shots, he comes through in the biggest moments. He hit the big three at the end of regulation. He gets the big and one, but still finished with 20 points, 17-17 and 4-5. Respectively of the Eastern Conference semifinals. So I would lean Kemba Walker in a bounce back effort, but yeah, no bet for me on this one.
You know, it's tough to handicap Jimmy Butler, by the way, because he'll have 30 points in one
playoff
game
Jimmy.
And 10 in the next. He's not like playoff P.
Yeah, he opened up the series against the Bucks, dropped 40 against the Bucks. Yeah. Then he went 13. Then he had 30, 17, 17, and then 20 against the Celtics in Game 1. He's not one of those guys that needs to have he's not a volume type of guy. He can kind of feel the game out and feel how it's going. And like in Game 1 against the Bucks, he was just unstoppable, so he just went off.
Absolutely. And Lightning Islanders Game 6, just about 2 hours away here. Islanders were able to secure the Game 5 win in a double overtime. The game winner came on New York's eighth shot in over 32 minutes of overtime action. Do you guys think the Islanders have anything left tonight?
Yeah, I think they have some. I mean, that's a team of fighters, actually, a very scrappy blue-collar team. That's Barry Trotz style. I actually have liked the Islanders throughout this series. I wondered if they were out of gas going into the last game. They actually got outplayed, but there was a breakaway on a turnover, and they found a way to win the game. Yeah. So I'm not going to count out the Islanders here. It would be plus 155 or pass, but I'll pass on the game.
What do you think about the total, Matt? It's come down. I think some spots open 5.5. I mean, the unders have been the play of the majority of this postseason.
Yeah. Sure.
And that's typically the way it goes in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I would think under or a pass, but it's a lot easier to bet under when that total is 5.5.
Yeah, well, we'll just have to see in just about under 2 hours here. We have more My Guys coming your way. We'll be right back. to My Guys in the Desert, Hour 2 here. I'm Danielle Alvari here with your hosts, Matt Heumann and Tim Murray's here. We have great guests for you guys right now. Derek Stevens and Mike Palm from Circa Sports and The D joining us right now.
All right, let's do it. Let's go down to The D where Derek Stevens, the owner, and Mike Palm are waiting with a camera in front of them, I believe. And we'll get to them in a second here. We got the Circa Sports Million Pro Football Contest Week 2. The numbers are out. We have the graphic up there. You can find them on the Circa Sports Twitter feed as well. Circa does a great job putting everything out on the Twitter feed from the sports book. There's the Week 2 contest point spreads. All right, we have Derek and Mike now from the D. And Derek, let's talk about the survivor in Week 1. And we had some major upsets in the NFL with the Eagles going down, the Colts going down, the 49ers going down, and Brent Musburger went down. He went 5-0 in one of his Westgate Super Contest entries, but he got knocked out of the Circa Survivor.
Yeah, now hang on a second here. I want to say hello to Danielle. I've never had an opportunity to do My Guys in the Desert with her. Obviously, she's the main person on the show. So, hi, Danielle. How are you?
She's good. She's good. She's coming in. Yeah, there she is. She's
hi.
Good. She's good.
Hey, there we go. Now we're talking. All right. Yeah, so as far as Survivor goes, I saw Brent had a 5-0 and gets knocked out. But he wasn't the only one to get knocked out of Survivor. It's amazing. We started with 1390 and we're down to 805 and we're going into Week 2 right now. So, yeah, that Colts game really knocked a lot of people out. And I think we had 425 people on the Colts in Week 1, and we only had one entry on the Jags. So all of a sudden, things got a little bit thinner going into Week 2.
Was someone listening to your strategy to go in with Jags and Colts in multiple different entries?
Well, you know, if there would have been at least two people that selected the Jags, maybe that was the case. But man, I think what happened was on the fifth pick for the Mad Rush, and there was a mistake that was made. At least that's what I heard here. So we only had one entrant, which is really amazing to me on the Jags. I was also surprised we had nine teams that did not have a single selection. So I was a little bit surprised about that. Yeah, as far as my picks, you know, last week I came on, I said I was going to run the double option, and I was going to use the option in Week 1. And I had Jags and in Indy. So I've got two entries available. Now I've blown the Jags. I was never planning on using them again. So I've got my two going, and we'll get to that. I know Mike took the four-entry bull rush. And, you know, early on, I would say the four-entry bull rush made a lot of sense. Mike, I know you've got one left here, right?
Yeah, it only makes sense if you pick winners, Derek. I mean, yeah. So I luckily got out of Denver with my one remaining entry with Tennessee. So I've got Derek already outsmarted me with the double option Week 1. He was counting. He was only competing with me, so he was counting on me being bad. And it's worked so far now, and you've got two, and I've got one.
No, I really, to be honest, I really liked your strategy. I assumed I was going to go in with, I was assuming I was going to go in with two as long as I faded a tie. And I really thought I liked your selections. I mean, I thought for sure you'd have at least three, possibly four going in. So anyway, yeah, here we are. Now we got to make our plays. It's Thursday on My Guys. So Matt, Tim, Danielle, I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm taking my two remaining entries. I can't take the Jags. And the way I played it out here, and I see this whole colorful grid that I've been watching that's going to be my map to the promised land here, I'm taking my two entries, and I'm taking Tennessee. This is the one game that I really like Tennessee at home. This was the game that I had selected, in advance. I think the fact that Jacksonville won Week 1 is not going to hold me back. So I'm taking my two entries on the Tennessee Titans this week.
I'm going to use my single remaining entry and take tonight's game and take the Cleveland Browns at home against Cincinnati, against Joe Burrow making his first road start. I just they got very lucky that they were facing Tyrod Taylor, I thought, last week, and I really couldn't stop the run at all. And I think Cleveland will be able to run the ball tonight, and that's where I'm going. And just hope the Titans blow, and I win tonight, and I can beat Derek.
All right, Mike Palm, confident in the Browns tonight to win that game. Browns are 6-point favorites, -240 on the money line against the Bengals. Mike, which three teams did you lose on last week? I had to bring this up because I lost with Derek Stevens' Detroit Lions. What happened there?
Well, I sure did. I feel badly about that one. Yeah. I mean, that's the only one where we had a right way loser there. I mean, again, I guess they fooled us again. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, they did it last year in Arizona, blew the 18-point mm-hmm. lead.
Yep.
The horrible. They took themselves out of field. And why try to kick a 55-yard field goal to go up 13? No, I mean,
doesn't make sense.
I mean, they made Mitch Trubisky look like Sammy Ball in the fourth quarter. He comes out with 2.5 minutes, and the genius Patricia lines up in the I formation and runs the ball into the middle of the line. I mean, it was just awful. And they had all these kids here, Derek. You had a lot of young people that were from Detroit area and Michigan. They were all just in disbelief here Sunday as we watched this epic collapse. I also lost on the Colts and another team that should have won. They had the 49ers. I mean, they somehow turned a victory into a defeat too. So I'm left with, but the one I'm really bitter about is the Lions, like you, Manny.
Yeah, I've been bitter. I've had bitter Bears face all week over this, Derek. What happened?
Sure to bring it up every day.
I know,
too.
I have been bringing them. At some point, I'll get over this, maybe by week 8. Derek, what happened to the Lions last week? This is sick.
Well, it was unbelievable. I think Mike said one thing. Why kick a 55-yard field goal?
Right.
And if you miss it, you give them great field position. Did it make sense when they were doing it? We were screaming when that happened. And then, obviously, a couple of other play calls, not running the clock down. And then, you know, as a Detroit Lions fan, you take your basically one of your first-round draft picks in DeAndre Swift, and you watch him become a Detroit Lion. You know, it's unbelievable. Yeah. He's a game-winning cat, you know, Matt Stafford finally throws a perfect ball, and you know, and then DeAndre Swift became a Lion. So it was a tough opening day, which the Lions have had a couple of those in the last few years.
Well, I have a lot of Packer fans, and they all are believing that this week the Lions are going to get them. It looks like Akuda is going to be back. What are you feeling? Derek? You got bounce back spot up to 6.5 in some spots. I think you guys still have it at 6 over there at Circa. You think the Lions cover this number?
Well, you know, the one thing about the Lions playing right now, when you look at these seasons, if you guys remember that 20-year stretch where the Lions couldn't win at Lambeau, and they finally won.
Yeah.
They cannot win a Lambeau in November, December. So as a Lions fan, you think you got a shot if they're playing at the Packers in September, October. That's really the only time they got a shot. I haven't seen an update on Okuda, but from what I saw this morning, it looked like it was unlikely that he was going to play. I guess we're going to learn tomorrow a little bit more. But have you guys seen Okuda's out again this weekend?
Ian Rappaport said today, about an hour ago, that Jeff Okuda was a full participant in practice. So I think there might be some hope that he is going to play on Sunday.
Well, that's good. I mean, we'll see. I mean, but again, rookies, whether they're quarterbacks or whether they're cornerbacks, always struggle. I mean, I like Mike's pick a lot tonight. I mean, you know, rookie quarterbacks playing in their first NFL night game have not fared well over the years. So I like what Mike's got here with the Browns tonight. And while Okuda coming back, I mean, I think you're going to see Aaron Rodgers take a couple shots and try to let him know who's the boss.
Derek, like you said, the Lions won in Lambeau a couple of years ago, and they actually should have won last year's game. They were completely screwed by the officiating in that game last year. I'm sure you remember it well. Mike or Derek, do you guys know how many 5-0 entries you had? Over 3,000 entries total in the Circus Sports Million Football Contest?
Yeah, I think we had 63, Matty, that went 5-0, and another 90 or 91 that went 4-0-1. So over 150 people off to some pretty good starts. There were 17 people in the Survivor, 17 entries that didn't put a pick in.
Yeah.
and plus 1,000 down the toilet, and 18 that didn't submit picks in the Circa Million too. But congratulations to Derek. He got there. What a late push. Thanks for all the help. The VSIN crew, you obviously, Manny, came down for that weekend. That helped out, and Mitch and Paul and Gil and Paul Stone, and just but a good idea. He designed a good product, and it was a team effort here. Jeff Benson and his staff did a great job. We took in almost $4.5 million in contest entries, and we're paying every bit of it out, and everybody's congratulating Derek Stevens. What a job. Meanwhile, at the end of the day, he's left with a $75,000 TV ad bill, and John Murray, your buddy, and Jay, they're laughing all the way to the bank with $141,000 in rake. So, I mean, who's the winner?
I think Derek's the winner because he's on TV. I see that commercial every week. I think Derek Stevens is a winner. How about Mike Palm, the hockey game tonight? I checked the Palm Reader's playbook. I didn't see a play on this. I might have missed it. But Tampa Bay and the Islanders, and it's game six and the Lightning minus 170, total of five. Did you play anything in that tonight?
I did. I played the first period under 135. Okay. I laid. I tell you, tough goals are tough to come by here, and I give the Islanders a lot of credit. I have the ticket. I hedged with Tampa, Matty. I bet before the last game, I bet $3,500 to win $2,500 on Tampa Bay to win the Cup. Mm-hmm. To hedge once the Stars had eliminated the Knights. So I have the Stars to win $7,500 and the Islanders to win $15,000. So that was my hedge. I thought it would be an uphill battle here for the Islanders. They showed a lot of resilience. Once they lost that lead to win that game in overtime, they faded the double minor. I mean, these goals are tough to come by in this series. Obviously, Tampa is not as explosive without some of their key players, Stamkos, but then in stretches of game, they're losing Point and other guys. So, again, I hate to play a five for a game because it's an elimination game.
Sure.
If you're going to play a five, you have to hope it's 1-1 like it was the last game. Because if it's 2-1, you're going to pull the goalie. And if it's 3-1, I mean, they're going to pull the goalie with 5 minutes or 3.5 minutes if it's a one-goal game. Because, you know, the Islanders are not going to sit there with the goalie in net and go home. So sure. That's why fives are so tough in elimination games. So we went first period.
I like your philosophy on that. I agree with that, too. All right, Derek Stevens, Mike Palm down at the D. Derek, why do you think this is going to be one of the best baseball playoffs ever? We were talking about this, and it's definitely interesting. This 60-game season's about to wrap up. Most teams have played 50 games, so we're not that far away from the baseball playoffs.
Well, let me just cut him off. There's other reasons, but can you imagine on Wednesday, the September 30th, there's going to be eight wild card games.
Yeah, that's going
to
be great.
Do you know how many times you'll have to see a circuit commercial during that? I mean, it's going to be incredible.
He jumps the lead right there. No, I think this playoff, the way it lines up is going to be, it's going to be enthralling. And I know there's some stories out there that are talking about how the owners really like this playoff format, so much so that they're talking about carrying this format on in, you know, in future years. But when you think about having four games on the Tuesday, and then you come back that Wednesday, you have all eight games going. So you have four game ones and four game twos. Then you get to Thursday, you're going to have four game twos, and then potentially four game threes. It's just amazing how you're going to see baseball, and on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's the only game in town. So this is going to set records as far as ratings go, in my opinion, on baseball. And I think this shortened season has kind of kept everybody in it. I think early on, without fans, you haven't had as much early enthusiasm. But boy, I think these pennant races are lining up nicely. I mean, and I know there's a few teams that are just completely out of it at this point, but this last couple weeks is going to be amazing baseball.
Watch out, guys. Tim, I give you a good value. I know it's come down the last couple of days, but watch out for the Reds. I mean, I know they're hitting 220 as a team, but you get into this three-game series and a five-game series, nobody wants to face Bauer, Gray, Castillo. And if they can get these bats going just a little bit, the poor Cardinals still have two more doubleheaders to play. How much pitching can they have left? Milwaukee's fading. I think the Cardinals are going to get in as the two seed in the NL Central, and they could do some damage once they're in.
What's going to be interesting handicapping-wise is there's no off days in the DS or the CS, so you can't hide any of – if you have a bad fourth or fifth starter, you can't hide them. So that's going to be the most fascinating part is the ALC – or the CS and the DS round is all straight through.
Derek, how many futures tickets – Derek, how many World Series futures bets do you have that you feel good about that are still live at this point?
One. I got one. I'm 8-2, and I got one that I like. I bet on the Marlins to win $1 million in the pennant in the World Series, and I bet on the Tigers. Tigers, I don't feel good about, but the Marlins, I do. And I think this randomness just plays into things. You know, a best of three series to start, then you're firing back with a best of five. So I think anything can happen. I mean, I think Tim, you brought up a great point. I wanted to bring it up is previously there was no such thing as a fifth starter.
Right.
There really wasn't even a fourth starter. It really became a situational lefty. But now you got to monitor your bullpen and you've got to be able to play. You got to play a little bit more of regular season style baseball, but it's playoff baseball. So I think that's going to add a lot of intrigue to this as well.
All right, Mike Palm, you just talked about the Reds. Any other teams out there that you have your eye on going into the baseball postseason?
Well, I was asked on a show the other day to give a long term. I don't know. The White Sox are playing just about as well as anybody right now. I like this team. I mean, if the starting pitching holds up, the bullpen is pretty solid, and I like the lineup 1-6. So the White Sox are a fun team, and if you want to take a shot, I'd like them in the American League.
White Sox actually won again today, right? Did I say that 4-3?
They were winning, yeah.
4-3, Mike. Though the White Sox are actually 23-6 in their past 21 games, and 15-2 in their past 17 at home. So the White Sox have been white hot recently, and there's no doubt about that. Derek or Mike, either one, do you have liability on any teams aside from the Dodgers in the futures book?
No, baseball's been pretty equally laid out. It's not like we're sitting in a bad situation right now, unlike where we are in the NBA, unlike hockey. I mean, right now we're in about the worst situation possible with this Islanders-Tampa Bay situation. We got about $500,000 liability on the Islanders right now. It might be $400,000. I know they're trying to book off of it, but the Islanders is about as bad as it gets.
Come on.
What?
It's less than $250,000. We get buried to the Heat, too, in the NBA. The Heat are a really bad result in the NBA. We were set up perfectly with the Clippers. We went to the Clippers. Now we lose to every result, but we lose a ton to the
LA
to the
Quitters.
Heat.
Mike Palm laughing off the $250,000 that they face in liability. All right, quick break. We come back with Top Plays.
NFL season is here, and now is the time for you to get into Quick Picks, the daily sports parlay game with the highest limits and the biggest payouts. Quick Picks keeps it simple with daily matchups and over-unders of the best players from all your favorite sports. Not living in a state with legal mobile sports betting for you to play? No problem. Quick Picks offers legal parlay action in nearly 30 states, including New York, California, Florida, Massachusetts, Texas, and Illinois. VSiN users can sign up for Quick Picks now and get a 100% free deposit bonus up to $100, and you can use PayPal, our preferred payment method, so you know it's 100% secure and legal. Legal for residents in 28 states, must be 21 or older. Go to quickpicks.com/VSiN bonus to find out more. Matt?
All right, let's get to top plays. And Tim, we've hyped this up. You've got a top play tonight. You and Mike Palm are on the same side.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Browns-Bengals is a rivalry. It's not quite at the level of Mike Palm and John Murray, but it's for the Battle of Ohio, and the Browns, 6-point favorites. And you're going to lay the points, huh?
I'm going to lay the points, yeah. I'm going to lay it with the Browns tonight. This reminds me a little bit of last year, Matt. Do you remember Browns open up? They got smashed by the Titans, all that anticipation. Then they came back week two, had a Monday nighter against the Jets, and they mopped the floor with the Jets. I think similar situation. Browns are going to be a little bit desperate. Bengals, you got a rookie quarterback, short week. So I will lay it with the Browns under a touchdown. And then Matt's kicking me off the set tomorrow, so I got to give my weekend plays here. Duke-Boston College will go under 52. I was impressed by what I saw from Duke's defense. I think Chase Bryce is going to be solid there. David Cutcliffe has taken over as the coach. I like Duke laying the points, but I'm not in love with it. I don't know what to expect from Jeff Hafley in this first game as the head coach of Boston College. Phil Jurkovic, the Notre Dame transfer, is now their starting quarterback. So I think this could be a slower game. So I like the under 52 there. App State at Marshall. I don't know what to think of Marshall. They played Eastern Kentucky, Matt, in week one. Eastern Kentucky's just terrible. App State looked a little sluggish early against Charlotte. Turned it on in the second half. Rushed for a ton of yards at 200-yard runners. Zach Thomas is a really solid quarterback. Wake Forest taking on NC State. I'm really not sure why NC State is a favorite here at home. So give me Wake Forest in the points. They played last weekend. Decent second half against Clemson. We talked about Tiger Woods missing the cut. We played that both Matt and I yesterday. And then Eagles as a pick against the Rams. Bounce back spot with a little more health coming back there for the Eagles. I think it's a bit of an overreaction. What the Eagles were laying four in the look ahead lines over the summer. So I think it's an overreaction giving the Eagles at a pick against the Rams.
Yeah, and the Rams were 1.5-point favorites Monday morning. And
some spots are at Eagles -1.
And some spots mostly a pick. But yeah, that's right now if you want to bet the Eagles, bet it at pick. That's 262 on the rotation in the NFL. And Tiger Woods, as far as his chances to make the cut, he's going to be pretty close to the cut line tomorrow. There are some guys who are playing worse than Tiger. Jordan Spieth and Tiger Woods each at 3 over in the U.S. Open after the first round. Colin Morikawa, PGA champ, 6 over par. Phil Mickelson, 7 over par. Dustin Johnson is also 3 over right now. So a lot of guys putting up big numbers. But Justin Thomas is the leader at 5 under. And our guy, Xander Schauffele, just missed a par putt. So yeah, they're both ticked off. He's now still two under, though.
He's tied for 8th right now. Some big names up.
Schauffele in the top 10, which is okay.
Yep.
My top plays, I'm just going to add one. I just mentioned the two U.S. Open plays. I've got Spieth to miss the cut and Woods to miss the cut. Also this weekend, put out this play yesterday. Raiders plus 6 over the Saints. A couple books in Vegas still have the 6. Most dropping to 5.5. Talking about a Saints offense, it's going to be missing Michael Thomas. You know, last week, Michael Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders combined for 6 catches for 32 yards. Drew Brees not pushing the ball down the field. And you're just not getting the big plays out of that Saints offense. I think the Raiders can hang around with a chance to win this game. I'll take the 6. I don't think that number is going to be up there by Monday night. Also, the Eagles pick them over the Rams, and you're on the same side. You also played the Eagles.
Yeah, I forgot to mention. I mentioned health, but we've talked about it a little bit. Lane Johnson coming back for the Eagles. It's a security blanket there for Carson Wentz, and Miles Sanders will see him get incorporated into the offense. So a little bit of health. Carson Wentz was sacked 8 times against Washington on Sunday.
Threw 2 picks, sacked 8 times. Lane Johnson coming back should help that offensive line. Miles Sanders should help a running game that averaged 3.4 yards per carry. So the Eagles looking to bounce back from that horrendous loss at Washington, up 17-0 in the first half before Wentz threw that pick. It's kind of hard to believe. It's not as bad as the Lions meltdown. Did you hear about that?
I heard. Did you have a bet on that game?
Yeah, I had the Lions.
Oh, you did?
That's the first time we've talked news about it this week. Let's take a quick break. We come back. William Hill, who writes for Point Spread Weekly. You'll see him on VSiN. He's going to join us to talk about some baseball and his top plays in the NFL for week 2.
Live in-game action, go to oddstrader.com, one of the best sites out there for live in-game odds and stats, oddstrader.com. And don't forget, this is your last chance to subscribe to VSiN before our rates increase. Get the Pro Football Betting Guide with over 100 pages of NFL betting analysis and the College Football Betting Guide with insights on every team. Plus, daily emails including our experts' best bets on every sport, 24/7 video streaming, weekly betting analysis for every NFL game, and Point Spread Weekly, our digital betting magazine. Sign up now. Next week, the prices will be higher. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to lock in your subscription, including our football betting guides at our best prices of the year. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Matt?
All right, let's get to it. William Hill with us at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, and this has nothing to do with the William Hill Sportsbook. The first time I saw your name in Point Spread Weekly, Will, I thought that that story was provided by William Hill Sportsbooks. Did you ever think about putting an initial in there, like William B. Hill or whatever, to separate yourself?
It gets confusing. You know what? That's not a bad idea. And you guys are mentioning the betting guide. I saw you took Clemson, Maddie, over. I'm sorry, Notre Dame over Clemson. I'm curious what number you got on that.
You mean in the game in South Bend on November 7th or to win the ACC?
I think you took them to pick the ACC, right?
Yeah, that was just a picks chart. I actually didn't bet. I took Notre Dame over Clemson in the picks chart, but then I had Clemson. Oh, okay. I had Clemson winning the ACC championship game, and that's just why I wanted to do it a little bit different. Well, it's easy to just take Clemson, yeah. Alabama, right? So, and Notre Dame does.
I'd be cool with that, by the way. I'm all on board. So,
the Irish host Clemson. Initially, basically, why I made the pick was Irish host Clemson on November 7th, and if any team's going to beat the Tigers this year, I think it could be Notre Dame in a home game in November. We'll see.
Better get those wide receivers healthy.
If you think about it, last season, Clemson almost lost, probably should have lost, at North Carolina on the road. So why can't Notre Dame pull the upset this season? All right, William Hill with us again at Not The Will Hill, Point Spread Weekly writer. Let's start with tonight's game. Will, Browns minus six, total 44.5, and Browns minus 240 on the money line. Did you play this game tonight?
Yeah, I took the Browns. I laid the six, which usually I lean to the dog here, but I just think it's a tough spot for the road team. Two road games in 4 days. I think it's a little bit of an overreaction. Obviously, Cleveland, they went out, they laid an egg in Baltimore, but that's something, you know, a lot of teams are going to be guilty of. Baltimore's really good. They're a machine when they get going. And I think that brings the line down. It gives you some value here on the Brownies. And I think, you know, look, there's a reason they had the Bengals had a chance to pick Joe Burrow first overall. I mean, they got issues on the offensive line. They got issues on defense. And I like the Browns here. As long as you're getting under a touchdown, which you are, I think there's some value here.
I don't know if the viewers should be happy or sad, but me and Will on the same page.
And Mike Palm, you, Will, and Mike Palm, all on the Browns.
This is a game, too, that both Matt and I are on. Curious your thoughts as we talk to William Hill at Not The Will Hill on Twitter. We've got Philadelphia hosting the Rams. Rams coming off a Sunday Night Football win, which I know was big for the books as they wanted the Cowboys, as the public were on the Cowboys on Sunday night. So the Rams come in 1-0, Philly licking their wounds after blowing a 17-point lead to the football team from Washington. And the Eagles do get Lane Johnson back, get Miles Sanders back. Both Matt and I like the Eagles in this spot. Where are you, Will?
Yeah, I'm with you on the Eagles. I think that's just such an overreaction. If you ended the game at halftime and the Eagles are up 17-0, that line probably stays put. And then one bad half, and then it swings 3-4 points in the other direction. That's not a good recipe to follow. If you're taking here the Rams playing a point, getting a point, whatever, when you could have gotten 3.5. But I'm going to look to play the under here. I still don't trust that offensive line. And I think the beating Wentz took last week, look, I mean, they had the lead for most of the game, and they threw the ball 42 times. I think they only ran it 17. I mean, Wentz is going to get killed if they keep dropping back and passing. I know they're getting Lane Johnson back, but I think they'll look to get the ground game going more. I think they'll really look to protect Wentz because he's not going to last 16 games. He never has lasted 16 games plus the playoffs as it is. I think they'll run the ball more, which means running the clock. And Goff historically has had much better numbers at home than on the road.
I haven't fired on this one yet, but I'm thinking long and hard about Seattle. Was very impressed by the way they played against Atlanta. I played Atlanta on Sunday. That was a loser from the, really felt like from the jump. Russell Wilson looked like an MVP, 31-35, four touchdowns. And I'm not buying this Patriots team right now. I mean, I didn't think they were all that impressive offensively. I know everyone was, you know, drooling over the fact that Cam Newton scored a couple touchdowns on the ground. That's not sustainable. I think the Seahawks are just a better football team. But I haven't played it yet. They're laying four. Belichick as an underdog historically is great. 23-9-2 against the number, Will. So Sunday Night Football is a good one. Seattle hosting the Patriots with Seattle laying four. And the total, depending on where you look, 44.5, 45. What's your thoughts on Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, before we get to that game, just an aside, if you have it out there, Russell Wilson anywhere from plus 650 to plus 750 to win the MVP, that's not a terrible bet.
Right.
But I like the Patriots. Like you said, Belichick, you're getting Belichick and you're getting points. You're getting over a field goal. I think Newton looked good. He looked fast. And I think they'll be tough to prepare for because, I mean, what do you have tape on if you're preparing for McDaniels? They don't, you know, they're not going to run anything on Sunday that's really similar to what they've been running with Brady. They're going to be a whole different offense. I think you almost have to look back to Tim Tebow and the 2011 Broncos if you're scouting McDaniels because he coached him in 2011. And it's just going to be such a different offense. So I'm going to take the points here. It's going to be an empty building in Seattle. That's not something they're used to. They're used to thriving on that home field. So I look for maybe a field goal game here, and I don't think you can go wrong betting Belichick plus points.
That's going to be a strong two-way action game on Sunday night. Yeah. Actually, that's going to be great for the bookmakers, no question about it. It's going to be interesting to see if that number moves off four by kickoff Sunday night. Seattle right now, four over the Patriots, total 44.5. William Hill with us at Not The Will Hill, Point Spread Weekly writer. Excellent column this week, by the way. I liked your column a lot. Let's go to Blue Jays and Yankees in baseball. This one starts in about 25 minutes, Will. Yankees are hot on a seven-game win streak, up to 28-21. They were a 500 team a week ago. Masahiro Tanaka, minus 215, 9.5 is the total. Blue Jays and Yankees again tonight. Did you have a play on the side or the total?
Yeah, I'm going to be a little square here. I'm going to lay the run and a half, and I'm going to take the team total over for the Yankees, 5.5. You know, the five scariest words for the American League, the Yankees are getting healthy. And, you know, they got everyone coming back at once with Stanton and Judge. And, you know, Frazier's held his spot there, so he'll upgrade the offense over what Gardner gave him. And it's interesting, you mentioned last week they're 21-21, because I think you're on the other side of this, but I actually have over 36.5. And at 21-21, it's dead. They got to go 16-2 to hit the over. But now they only have to go 9-2. And if you win tonight, it's 8-2. And the rest of the way, they got the Marlins, the Red Sox, and the Blue Jays for 10. It's really not impossible. I wouldn't say it's likely, but it's not impossible that they get the 37 wins.
Well, it's not impossible.
I like the Yankees here. Their offense is rolling. Yeah.
It's mathematically possible. I've got under 38, and you've got over 36.5. So who knows? Maybe we could both win if it lands on 37. Will Hill, hey, thanks a lot for the spot. Quick break here on My Guys in the Desert. We come back, a last look at tonight's games.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, and new customers get a no-brainer odds boost of 100-1 on any pro football team to win in week two. It's easy. Just sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app with promo code VSIN, bet $1 on any team to win in week two, and if they do, you walk away with $100. Don't forget to use code VSIN when you sign up. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit the DraftKings Sportsbook app for offer details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Indiana, 1-800-9 with it. Matt.
Thanks, Danielle. She's got a busy night, a couple more shows to do. And I know, Tim, you have a show to do tonight, too, right?
Yeah, the Sunday preview. Myself, Amal Shaw, and Danielle will be part. We'll run that a little bit later on in the week here on the network.
All right, the Sunday, our week two kicks off tonight with the Thursday night game, Bengals and Browns. We have not seen this number move all day, really. It's just sitting right here on Browns -6. Total of 44.5. That's the number at the South Point. Browns -240. And you are on the Browns. You, Mike Palm, and William Hill, all on the Browns. I told you I don't play many NFL teasers, but I went ahead.
Did you do it?
To get in action tonight, I played the Browns, a Browns-Steelers teaser in week two. So I got the Browns a pick and the Steelers -1. You like that?
I do. I like the Browns tonight laying the 6, so obviously I would like them in that spot. I thought about... Yeah, that's something I'm sure, you know, you mentioned you're not big into teasers, which I understand, especially, you know, a lot of teasers had the Colts in them last week.
You and think so?
You tease it down to 2, and, well, then you lose outright. That's not going to help out. And with the Eagles as well, you tease it. That went off at 5.5.
A lot of teasers got blown up last week by the Eagles, by the Colts, by the 49ers.
Yeah. And the 49ers are another spot I think will be very teasable this week. They're on the road at the Jets. They're laying 7, so you tease that down to 1. But, yeah, I like that. I like that teaser a lot because, honestly, Matt, you know, we talked about it on Tuesday. Both you and I were on the Broncos. We were very fortunate to get that win. Steven Gostkowski was just dreadful, and he makes that field goal. Also, Ryan Tannehill overthrows A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown was wide open for a touchdown in the corner of the end zone. That would have given the Titans the cover. So a bit fortunate there. I came away very unimpressed, and I saw Pro Football Focus ratings after week one. Drew Lock was the lowest rated quarterback in week one, and now he goes up against Pittsburgh, which they wreak havoc up front. We saw that against the Giants. So I like that tease a lot, and I think the Browns, like we saw last year in week two after they got embarrassed by the Titans in week one, I think they bounce back. You've got a rookie quarterback on a short week on the road. Yeah, give me the Browns laying 6.
All right, both these teams had kicking issues in week one. It's amazing that the Bengals kicker, Randy Bullock, can even walk.
I know.
After that debilitating injury he suffered on the missing potential game-tying kick against the Chargers. NFL bettors, I've said this for a long time, can be driven crazy by kickers. This is from Pro Football Talk. NFL kickers missed the most field goals in an opening week since 1982. How about this? In week one, 15 kickers missed at least one kick and combined to miss 19 field goals, the most in the opening week since 20 were missed in 1982. Kickers even missed five extra points, which ties the most in week one since the PAT was moved back to its current spot at the 15-yard line in 2015. Who knows? Kicking issues might play a role tonight, and who covers the point spread or wins this game.
Someone in this town says kicking is for losers.
So. John Murray says that. Mike Palm's good friend, John Murray. Let's get to the hockey game tonight, game six in the East, and it's Tampa Bay minus 170, Islanders plus 155. This Islanders team is tough. They don't go away without a fight, and they scored on a breakaway after a turnover to win in double overtime in game five. So it's 3-2 in this series. The total is five. Mike Palm's right. Very difficult to bet under this total of five in an elimination game when you could have empty net situations at the end. I would play the Islanders plus 155 or pass, but I'm going to pass on this game.
Yeah, you look at this series so far, game five, 2-1, game four, 4-1, 5-3, 2-1, and 8-2 was the opener. So, yeah, I thought Mike made a great point. I mean, you look back at the Knights elimination game against the Stars, and that wasn't a game six, but still an elimination game, and the Stars came back from 2-0, tied it at 2, and then it was a push in overtime.
NBA, game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. Game one was a thriller, man. It can't get much better than that. 117-114, Heat over the Celtics in overtime. And it looked like the Celtics had that game won coming down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Jimmy Vaccaro was in studio with us. Said,
a lot of junk on the Celtics.
Yeah, and you know what? The junk has pushed the lineup from 2.5 to 3 all over town. So right now, if you want to bet the Celtics, there's only like two books. Caesars still has 2.5, according to the screen. South Point's up to 3. I see
totals dropping too. Circa's dropped to 207.5.
DraftKings
208 across the town. Across town.
DraftKings and Circa are the only places where you can still lay 2.5 on the Celtics. It's gone up to 3 everywhere else. And you're right about the total dropping a little bit. That number was 209. Now we're seeing some 207.5s. Like I said, I've got the Celtics to win the East. You and I both played the Heat in Game One. I'll probably pass unless I do some live wagering on this game tonight.
Yeah, we'll see if the Heat follow suit what they did in game one, which was slow first and third quarter, then incredible fourth quarter to come back down by 14 in that fourth quarter. Yeah, pass for me tonight. I think the Celtics do win. I think they do bounce back, but at minus 3. Knowing how this series, how I feel like this series, Matt, is going to play out, no thanks on laying 3 right now.
All right, so you got three big games tonight you can play. You got the NFL, the NHL, the NBA. What more could you ask for? You got a couple games in baseball. We talked about the Yankees. William Hill was on with us previous segment. He's laying the Yankees run line tonight, minus 1.5. And I think the price on the Yankees run line, minus 125. So that's Yankees won 7 in a row. Masahiro Tanaka against the Blue Jays and Merriweather. And Yankees minus 220, minus 125 on the run line, total of 9.5. I don't object to his play there. I think that that's about the only way you could buy. I would never lay more than $2 on a baseball game or even $2. So you got to take your chances with the Yankees offense right now, which is red hot. Yankees have 13 home runs in the past two games. Minus 125 on the run line is the way he was playing at Mets and Phillies. Aaron Nola minus 115. Phillies missing a couple of key guys in the lineup, but Nola, that's a cheap price you're going to find on him at home against the Mets tonight.
Yeah, and a game that you talked about earlier, Matt, and you are you going to – going to pull the trigger. Colorado looks like you can get them as plus 143 right now. Westgate taking on the Dodgers tonight. You've got Urias against Freeland. Decent price on Freeland there as a dog at home.
If I played that, the only way I would play it is Rockies. And I see plus 150 out there at one book in Vegas at Station Casinos. But Kyle Freeland's
pitched well last couple times.
He has pitched well. And he's the type of dog at that, you know, lefty for the Rockies is the type of dog at that price I would consider, but I'm not going to bet the Rockies tonight. I think that's about it in baseball. That's about it for baseball for tonight. Let's go to golf and what's happening with the U.S. Open. Phil Mickelson, you mentioned to Tim, somebody blew a lot of money on Phil Mickelson in this U.S. Open. I'm looking right now. He has walked off the course at 9 over par in the first round. He shot a 42 on the back. How much money was bet on Phil Mickelson at a certain book?
William Hill says that 29% of the money it has taken in on the U.S. Open has been bet on Phil Mickelson. 45 grand at 75-1, which would have netted $3.375 million. Took another bet at 10 grand at 65-1, which would have net $650K. And then another bet of $1,000 at 50-1. So $56,000 at William Hill was bet for Phil Mickelson to win outright, and he is 9 over par. After, but I will say, he was 2 under to start today, and then
he got off to a pretty good start today.
Completely fell apart.
2 under, TV coverage, the commentators were hyped up, talking about Phil. Maybe this is his U.S. Open. Well, he's in 142nd place by himself out of 144 golfers.
I don't think he's going to make the cut. And Wingfoot is the home of the collapse in 2006 on 18 from Phil.
Colin Morikawa, 6 over par, your PGA champ. He's going to struggle to make the cut. Tim and I are both rooting against Tiger Woods tomorrow. He's 3 over. He's in a tie for 73rd. Jordan Spieth right there with him. Dustin Johnson did not play well today. He's at 3 over par. Daniel Berger right there with him. So you got some big names that didn't play well today. Justin Thomas, about 14-1 before the tournament. Now the leader at 5 under par. Patrick Reed, who aced a hole. There were 2 hole-in-ones today, by the way.
Yeah, and I saw the prop, I think, was even money. It was minus 110 both ways. Will there be a hole-in-one? And
sure.
2 today.
Paul Howard of Eason bets the no on that hole-in-one prop almost every tournament. I think he's backed off a little bit, but he did bet this one. He had 2 holes in one today. Matthew Wolf, a long shot up there with Rory McIlroy. And Xander Schauffele, our guy at 2 under
par. Come
on,
Xander.
He's in the top 10. So we'll have Wes Reynolds on the show tomorrow. You're not going to be here.
Yeah, you didn't invite me for Friday. That's all right. That's understandable.
I think you have 5 shows to host on Saturdays. So we're going to give you tomorrow off.
Tony Finau, by the way, who has had, I think it's 6 top 10s in majors since 2018. Uh-huh. Double bogey on 17, so that dropped him down to even par for the day. He was shooting it well, had a birdie at 16. He was 2 under, double bogey at 17. So Finau, even par, shot 70 today, T21. Your guy, Ricky Fowler.
Don't say that. Come on, don't say that.
Had a great front 9, 3 birdies. He was 3 under par.
I didn't
couple bogeys
I didn't
on the couple bogeys on the back 9. John Rahm, a lot of people on John Rahm. He's 1 under.
Ricky Fowler has lost his faithful followers. Most of them, Patrick Everson of Covers, still bets him in every tournament.
He puts a little Chili's money. That's what he calls
it. Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Ricky Fowler all tied at 1 under. Heading into the second round tomorrow. You have to get up early to watch this or just stay up late and don't go to sleep. Comes on at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning on the Golf Channel. Wes Reynolds is going to join us on the show tomorrow to talk about some bets you might want to watch going into the weekend in the U.S. Open. Also going to have Eddie Walls, probably the best college football handicapper you've never heard of. He's going to be on the show with me tomorrow with Aaron Renning and Scott Kellen as we break down the entire Week 2 NFL card. You're on tonight.
I'll be on tonight all weekend long right here on VSiN.
All right, great show today. Thanks to Kenny White, Jimmy Vaccaro, Derek Stevens, Mike Palm, and Will Hill. That does it for My Guys in the Desert.